This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Way over it. Welcome into the Dirt and Sprague podcast.
That was one that the segment continued in the break. Everybody's fired up today. Talking recruiting and NIL and money. And
when we do these things and we get fired up, we do it out of love. But our fill-in producer this week, who we greatly appreciated in many ways.
Schulte's the best.
He's a pocket watcher.
Ho, ho, ho.
He's bothered by people making money, and I find that an odd
thing. Anti-Bryce Underwood, $10.5 million deal. Now, that's just reported. I don't know if there's like... You know, I don't think we ever get to see the paper print of the contract of those things, but that has been speculated by LSU people of why he left and Michigan people on why they got him. And I think there's a fear there. Like, you can bemoan it all you want and not like the system and the model. If Michigan gets their alumni base pulling their weight in the same direction...
Well, Portnoy is a big part of this, too. He's $3 million committed every year,
But you're also looking at, like, NFL owners, and, I mean, there's a...
Stephen Ross, Miami Dolphins, is a booster. A
lot of hefty folks, a lot of wealthy folks in that fan base, and that alumni base, and if they start throwing their weight around financially like this, look out, buddy, because there's not many programs that have a richer alumni base than that.
The underrated part of college, we noted this last year, the underrated part of college football with this money stuff. It's like everybody's like, well, they have the boosters, so they have the most money. That's not always correct. It is about how your collective is organized and put together.
Yes.
If you have a clear-cut message and way of doing business, you will benefit.
And you're not lying to the kids about how much they'll be making. That happens at a lot of places. We say, well, we had the UNLV situation earlier this year, but it happens elsewhere.
It does.
A&M was one of the places.
Florida, that's a good example.
I'm going to make what? And then you get it. And, oh, wait, I'm not making this much? Okay, then I'm going to enter the transfer portal because you lied to me about how much you're going to pay me.
Kid from NLV got promised $250,000, and now we're talking about a quarterback making 2.5. Yeah. I'm just concerned about the exponential endless growth. That is all. I'm all about NIL.
It's a multi-billion-dollar business.
It is. And they're trying to put restrictions on it. I mean, it seems like heading towards having a $20 million salary cap, essentially, where you get your money that you can spend on your team. Now, will that keep teams from not doing more? I highly doubt it, because college football teams have been cheating since the beginning of time with cash handshakes and duffel bags and everything that they can find to create a advantage in recruiting and signing players. But we're heading towards a spot where you have $20 million to spend on your roster, and you can decide to parcel that out however you want to do it.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour. Josh Pate's going to join us at 7:30. We missed his Wednesday hit for travel purposes, so he'll join us coming up at the bottom of the hour for the Daily Ticker.
He had a live show down in Tempe last night.
Yes, he did. It is a Spragging the Line Friday.
Boom.
We will Sprague the line at 8:30. Get those sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line at 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. You can visit them at VancouverFord.com.
Text in your favorite bets. I'm lost. I got nothing. I'm 0-3. I'm almost 10 games below 500. I have no hope. All hope is lost for me.
I was a little surprised you didn't take the Brownies yesterday.
Yeah, I liked it, but I don't have any. I actually love the under, and I didn't end up betting it.
You
and then
loved the
first
under.
Half all of the game. I'm like, why didn't I bet the under? And then the over ended up hitting. I was like, well, that's
oh, did it.
It
I guess did. 24-19.
It did. They exploded for points as the snow piled up. They scored more. Make that make sense.
It was the third quarter. I pulled my phone out of the pocket and I opened the ESPN app to look at the scores. I saw the Oregon State game, and then I saw that, and I was like, 10-6. Wow.
Yeah.
The under hit.
Picture Brown Steelers Thursday night football in your head. That's exactly how the game looked.
What's the upset this weekend? Because people are labeling this weekend in the NFL crap, and I just will never fully dive in and accept that that's the case the way we do in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Raiders? Is it Colts? Is it Chicago? Is it New England? Where's the upset this weekend that nobody sees coming?
Not that nobody saw it coming, but that was a 2-8 win over an 8-2 team last night. That was a big loss for Pittsburgh, who's fighting for first-round buys, maybe a number one seed. Division may be locked up.
1-7-1, by the way, against the Browns since 2018.
Can't they beat Cleveland? Cleveland is so bad.
Why can't the Ravens beat Pittsburgh? We talked about this yesterday. That division is weird and makes no sense.
If you're Baltimore, it opened the door back up for you, because if they win on Monday night in L.A., which will be a tough game, I don't know if they'll win it or not, but if they do, you're at 8-4, you're only a game out. I think they still have one more game left against Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, in Baltimore. I think that was the first time they played this past weekend. So you're still alive in the division there. I can throw a couple of candidates at you. I look at Sunday Night Football. I don't really know what to make of the Rams. They have moments where they look like a good team and moments they look like a terrible team.
They are not a team I feel confident betting on or against is where I'm at.
Totally fair. I'm not going to gamble on that game at all. I also have no confidence gambling on any team right now. But I also don't have a high trust level in Philly. I don't have a high trust level in their quarterback. And if you tell me they go on the road, L.A. still alive in the division. They're only a game behind the Cardinals. And so you're in the mix. The Niners are 5-5 as well. You tell me the Rams pull off that upset on Sunday Night Football, I'm not surprised in the least.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like that one is looming for sure. But I'm like looking around, like the Niners, who have largely been dominating the Packers the last few years, they're 3-point favorites. And I feel like they're going to lose in a snow game at Lambeau, which, by the way, I'm going to decorate for Christmas when that game is on my television, because I need to see that snow at Lambeau Field.
It feels good.
It's going to feel great.
I know we joked about bucket lists earlier with Larry David. That is one of the highest sporting event bucket list things that I have. A snow game in, I don't care, like you give me Green Bay, you give me lake effect snow in Buffalo, and it's just dumping, and Josh Allen's running around. They're throwing sex toys on the field.
Well, last night's game wasn't great.
Last night,
seeing that probably felt great.
Not a single person left. How do you? You're just like, this is so cool, dude. We're in Cleveland. It's dumping snow. That is so high on my bucket list, to go to a snow football game in one of those cold weather cities.
I think there's going to be an upset or two. Like Chicago against Minnesota is like, I want to just hammer Minnesota. And I'm like, oh, Chicago should have beaten Green Bay last weekend, and we're all making fun of them, but they were 20 yards away from winning the game.
Yes, they were.
You know, Drake May, the Patriot offense is suddenly alive, and like, I think the Dolphins will win, but Kendrick Bourne laid up the sideline from a Drake May bomb.
Yeah, the Patriots have been much better in the last month. I know that
they're
not all translating to wins, but they hung with Tennessee, lost a close game. Remember, that was the last second touchdown that sent it to overtime. They dominated the Bears, and then they hung in tough with the Rams at home last week, and Drake May's playing pretty well.
I would argue the Patriots are doing exactly what you'd want the Patriots to be doing if you're a Patriot fan.
Yes.
You're seeing it from May. You're feeling good about what you see, and they're losing.
Yes.
Right in the thick of the tank off for the number one pick, while your young quarterback is getting those reps and looking the part.
Remember 2 months ago when we were debating, you can't play him. Keep him healthy. It's like, well, now things are looking pretty good for you, and he's still alive.
We did a poll question yesterday. Which of the four teams would you want to go to as an incoming NFL player? And we didn't do the Jags because they've got Lawrence, but Raiders, Browns, Giants, and
who was the fourth? Titans? You throw Titans in there?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. We got a few responses of, this is easily the Giants. And I totally get it. Like, two Super Bowls. Mara's largely been thought of in the NFL circles as like a pretty good ownership situation. It's New York. Totally get it. What do you make, though, of what's happened this week? Have you seen what's happened with the Giants?
I have. The Daniel Jones stuff was interesting yesterday.
The team basically doesn't like what they're doing. They're calling out the decision to sit Daniel Jones.
It's a financial thing. They don't want to have to pay him.
They really didn't like the Saquon Barkley treatment of letting him just walk, not getting a deal, and letting him go to the Eagles within the division. And they're not only not playing Daniel Jones, they're also just skipping over Drew Lock for what reportedly might be financial reasons.
Yeah.
And they're going to play Tommy Cutlets, who they vowed would never play again for them.
It's also a tanking process. Like, that's definitely a part of this.
Drew Lock can tank for you just
he
fine.
Can.
This is about saving money while also losing.
Yeah, I think Tommy Cutlets is a little bit worse of a quarterback, but we're splitting hairs at that point. This is financial.
No, I agree with you there. Yeah. Yes, I don't disagree at all.
This is financial, and because they don't want Daniel Jones to get hurt, so he's number four on their depth chart. They're wrapping him a bubble wrap, so they don't have to pay him any injury guarantees going forward. They're going to move on. And It was a weird feeling yesterday because he had this heartfelt like press conference where he's like, thanks to the Giants, they're a class organization, and blah, 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 went on and on and on. Some people made fun of it. Like, he's been a stand-up dude. He's never been in trouble. I think he's worked hard. He's just not a franchise quarterback, man. And I was thinking last night watching the Browns, it's so funny how different organizations made decisions about an extension for their rookie quarterback, and one whiffed, they both whiffed completely, but making the opposite decision. You had Cleveland because they played Baker in year four when he was banged up. He wasn't great, even though he won a playoff game in year three and was really good. Decided to let him walk and said, this guy's not our guy. Let's go give all our money to Deshaun Watson. And it backfired incredibly. And the Giants went the other direction. They decided, let's pay our guy. And it backfired incredibly for them. I also think they're having a hard time. Like, you can feel however you want about Malik Nabers, and we don't need to revisit this debate again for another maybe year or two. But the way we analyze this stuff is usually, well, what did you pass on in order to draft him? And that was a debate in April of, we're really going to roll out Daniel Jones again? Like, what do you think this is going to look like? Now you're going to have to take a quarterback next year in the draft, and you got a guy behind that was taken behind Nabers in the draft, and Bo Nix, who's playing pretty decent football. I would have also had a chance at Michael Penix, would have had a chance at J.J. McCarthy. I have no clue how their NFL careers are going to go, but that was a debate. You have Daniel Jones, you're giving him another year. We all know this is going to be a disaster, but you took a wide receiver instead.
So which team, let me ask you this, which team in the NFL slate this weekend would shock you if they lost?
Kansas City, number one.
Fair.
Them losing to Carolina would be...
I didn't list the Panthers for an obvious... I think that's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if I'm going to spread the line on them, but I'm going to tell you I'm going to gamble the living hell out of the Chiefs minus 10.5.
Let's see. Is there any others?
10.5?
The Chiefs against the Panthers?
I know, but I've gotten bit by them trying to cover twice this season. Just be careful.
No, I'm with you there. That's certainly a fair thing to respond with. Maybe Chuba Hubbard has a big day.
Yeah,
and,
it's like not like I don't think the Chiefs are going to kick ass, but like, God, they were supposed to kick ass against the Raiders, and then the Raiders covered late. So
they were supposed to. All the sharps told me you always take Mahomes when he's an underdog, and I took Mahomes when he's an underdog, and he lost the damn game.
Well, I think that was his third loss as an underdog, so I think you're still okay.
No,
to
guy's
take
a bum.
It.
He's no longer the GOAT. Okay. Get him out of the conversation. He's no Justin Herbert.
This is a massive weekend. Like, Seattle having any playoff hopes? I don't know if Seahawks fan really believes their team is good. I don't know where they're at on that stuff. I'm not going to pretend to know. They have to win, and in the same breath, the Cardinals win this game this weekend. They're just so much closer to winning the division.
Depending on what happens Sunday night for the Rams, especially in the Niners in Green Bay.
The Rams could lose, and the Niners could lose, and I know those aren't division games. I understand that, but like the win-losses just keep piling up.
You get two-game lead.
More and more and more space there. It's a big game in Seattle this weekend, and I never thought I'd say Cardinals-Seahawks at this point of the year.
This is kind of the beauty of the NFL, though. When I look up and down the rest of the slate, there's not many other outcomes that would be shocking. Like, Cowboys is an obvious one, the way they're playing with Cooper Rush, even though the Commanders are leaking oil a little bit, but they beat up on bad teams.
Shocking is a tough word to use in the NFL. See last night, but like...
Yes. Like, if the Titans beat the Texans in Houston, I'm surprised. I'm pretty surprised.
Raiders beating the Broncos in Vegas?
I'm not going to pick it to happen, but I'm also like,
Raiders, the Broncos are playing
rivalry games.
The Raiders feel dead.
Raiders did that last year to Kansas City, though, on Christmas Day. So they have a little bit of that in them where you're like, where did that come from? Beat the Ravens earlier this year when they were down by 10 in the fourth quarter in Baltimore. Like, they have that ability to win a random game, but they're a dysfunctional organization.
That first game, too, was a little closer at the start, and then Minshew threw a goal line interception that became a pick six, I think, for Sertan, and he like went 100 yards, pick six. They steamrolled him.
Totally flipped the rest of the game.
It did. And that's what Minshew does usually when he plays.
That's exactly what he does.
Josh Pate coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Pate's going to join us. We need to talk about Arizona State, BYU, Colorado, Kansas. We got a Big 12 championship game to kind of sort out this weekend.
We do. Two big games, both on at the same time, 12:30 tomorrow.
I think Dirt's going to get to my Beavs hosting Washington State. I don't, no promises. Who knows?
We'll get to that for sure today.
It's kind of
I don't know where Oregon State fan is at. I know Coug fan's excited about the game.
Based on my direct messages on social media platform, I would say not in a good space.
Yeah,
in good space.
It's more of a Coug story. Can they win this one and be one step closer to going 10-2? Remember, they were a team that tailspun at the end of the year last year. They're coming off a really bad loss to New Mexico.
We will Sprague the line at 8:30 as well. So get the Sprague line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. I live in a house with three ladies. It's me and the dog. Only boys in that house.
Yeah, you're outnumbered.
I don't get a lot of wins in my life. Like, hey, I want this. I usually don't get it.
Yeah, not going your way.
And it didn't happen. It happened again yesterday of me not getting something.
Got another L?
Well, I was thinking about this. I looked at the calendar this week. I was looking at games, and then it struck me. I'm like, whoa, it's the 21st.
It is.
This month is flying by.
Yes, it is.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like usually today is when Thanksgiving is, but this is one of those weird years where Thanksgiving is like at the very end of the month. Can we just, side note, stick it at a day and keep it at that day? Why do we move it around between 2 weeks? I hate that.
I'm also confused. Like Thanksgiving always, isn't it the fourth Thursday? Isn't that how we do it? Isn't that how it usually works?
Just make it like the 24th.
I mean, well, what if it doesn't fall on a Thursday, though? Yeah, then you don't have Black Friday. Then we can't sell things on Friday. What if we get Thanksgiving on a Monday?
It has to be within that ballpark.
Throw you for a loop.
There's got to be.
It's fourth Thursday in November.
Fourth Thursday in November.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's one of those weird years where it's at the end, right?
Yeah, leap year. That always happens. We've had like five Friday the 13th this year. Leap years always bring a bunch of changes to the calendar. Yeah.
My family, I largely get together with my family right after Thanksgiving that weekend, and we usually go to a local farm, and we cut a tree down. And I made the decision yesterday. I said, no, you know what? I'm not waiting. It's not my, I'm not, why do I need to be punished?
No, I want a tree now.
I want a tree now. I'll put a little lights on it. I won't fully decorate till after Thanksgiving, but I want a tree up now. And I told this to my family in the car and universally screamed at, no, you are not.
Why? What's
You're
the anti-early tree?
I don't know. I thought it'd be fun. We'd go out today, kids are off school.
Yeah, weather was beautiful yesterday. It's supposed to be dry today.
I thought it would resonate really well in the car. And I was screamed at, no, we're going with your family on December 1st. And I said, we could still go to the farm and hang out.
Yeah, who cares?
Or get two trees. We have two trees in my house.
You go two trees, you're a double tree guy?
We have them both delivered.
We have a fake tree that we set up just in one back room, and then we have a real tree that we get. So we have the one for ambiance, and then as you guys have already given me crap for, I will either get it delivered or go to Home Depot to get a real tree.
No, go cut it down. Take a saw. Get on your hands and knees, Schulte. Get
all right,
to work.
Clark.
Come on.
We'll do.
Exactly. But it was really defeating yesterday. I thought I was gonna be saying something that the car got excited about, and I'm like, Guys, we're getting a tree tomorrow or Saturday. And it was immediately, what? No, yeah. no. And I'm like, all right, cool.
I was just, I don't know why you catch an L there. That's a little tough. Like, I at least feel good about the fact that some people, I think there's a couple of keys in relationships when you marry somebody. Body temperature is a big one. Somebody likes it hot. Somebody likes it cold. That's going to make
Is always freezing.
It's going to make your relationship tough, right? Thankfully, my wife and I are on this very similar body temperature types. Mm. We both like it cold, so we don't like the heat on too much. A lot of AC in the summertime, so we're very similar in that regard. We're also, like, if I told my wife I wanted to go get a Christmas tree in the middle of October, she'd say, let's do it. So I know if I asked to go get a if I was like, hey, let's go get a Christmas tree today, it would be like, yes, can we please? Can we get two of them? Can we get seven of them? There would be zero pushback whatsoever.
Your wife and I, your wife and my wife are very similar to where she'd be like, okay,
pushback
let's do it.
Yep. Whatsoever.
She'd love it.
But my brother's this way where his wife, like, he tries to start playing Christmas music in, like, November.
I've been listening to it on the way in.
I've been doing it for, like, 3 weeks, man.
I went on a strand and I put it on my dashboard. I turn them on in the morning when I'm driving
November 1 was good. When I started listening it and watching Hallmark Christmas movies. I was just watching Christmas Vacation last night.
I'm right there, but anytime he tries to play Christmas music in November, he gets shot down. No decorations until after Thanksgiving. Very strict rules. We don't have that in our
household. How often do you guys lose in your house? I know you got Teddy ball game. You don't have a child yet, but how often does this happen for you guys?
I'm losing a lot, but I know it's going to come full circle.
Really?
Like when he's a little bit older. When he's older and it's like, Mom, we're watching the game and eating pizza bagels. You're like, you're damn right we are, buddy.
I mean, we watch a lot of like.
God, I can't wait for you to realize how wrong you are. He's going to be a mommy's boy.
Nah, it's all going to be sports.
It's going to be a mommy's
boy. We're going to be golfing. We're going to be smoking cigars, drinking scotch. It's going to be great.
Or he's just trying to play both parents against each other. He'll be golf guy for you, and then he'll be whatever into mom.
Why do I have your kid at 11 smoking?
Listening to Frank Sinatra out on the back patio. This is great, dude. Got a fire pit going. Just hanging out. A couple bros.
I love the idea in your head of how this is all going to go.
Look,
I hope it does.
That's the way it's going to play out.
I got robbed yesterday. I got railroaded, and the most surprising was the children were the ones being the loudest of, no, we have to cut it down with your family. I'm like, why?
It's like that BMW commercial where they're trying to turn the new one that just came out where the family's trying to turn Christmas music on, and the mom's like, not yet.
Is it weird to go to a farm and cut your tree down without your family? I might do that today. I might
you
say,
should.
I'm going to go run some errands.
Just and show up with a tree.
Come back with a tree.
See what they say.
I think that's the only way you do it. You're like, fine, you don't want to make it a family activity? Dad's going to do it himself.
Yeah, I'm the one that cuts it down anyways. I got to carry it back to the car on my own. I don't really even need you here.
I'm right. They're wrong.
Yeah,
that's get where
your
I'm
tree.
At.
Go get your tree, damn it.
Josh Pate joins us coming up next. We'll Sprague the Line an hour from now. We'll get some more college football as well. Josh Pate joins us on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Celebrate the season with a Northwest tradition, Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Hey, you better watch out. You know why, Sprague?
I do.
Because Bad Santa's coming to town.
Ho, ho, ho.
Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing, celebrating the season with Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Let's go to Sunny Pastures, and our good buddy Josh Pate usually joins us on Wednesdays. Everybody's traveling. We're all over the map, but we get him on a football Friday. What a nice bonus on a football Friday.
Bummed to not get him at the normal day slot, but once we found out it was going to be on a football Friday, it kind of changed the vibe.
At Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Josh Pate's College Football Show is live on YouTube every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time. You can catch the podcast wherever you find your podcast, and he was live down in Tempe. So go ahead and make us feel bad, Pate, right out of the gate. What's the weather like down there?
Hold on a second. Let me put on my sunglasses. boy, and I'm still indoors. I'm not even outdoors yet. You know, I'll give you the quick report. The weather is nice here. It is sunny. I think we're gonna. You know, it's a lot of debate around here. Will it be upper 70s? Will it be low 80s today? It is whatever. But I got to tell you guys, I'm normally on, as you said, on Wednesday, and I just shirked my responsibility and moved it to Friday this week. And I had heard rumors that this show sort of loses its energy at the end of the week. And I had heard that this show was nothing to write home about by the end of the week. And I'm here to tell you, I like the vibes that we're bringing this morning. I think they lied about this show.
Okay. Yeah. They don't listen to the people, all right? Don't listen to the rumors out there. We bring the heat. I'm going to need some picks for you, though, because I am a terrible gambler this year. I'm having a really rough year.
Come on, man.
Give me some Ramen Noodle Express. I need some by the end of the segment. No, you were doing the show live in Tempe last night. I enjoyed watching it. The sit down with Dillingham was great. We obviously are familiar with him. Not a long time in Eugene, but when you're around Kenny Dillingham, he's a guy that stands out. His story about being such a bad athlete, so he started coaching when he was 17, blew me away. So I want to start there with you. What have you made? We've always talked about on the West Coast, Arizona State being a sleeping giant, and then you see the weather and you're like, all right, I get it. Why can't they recruit better? What have you made of Dillingham in year two, being down there in a big game for them this weekend hosting BYU?
Really big one, yeah. So I always thought that too, the way you said it about them being a sleeping giant, I thought that even growing up in the South, not knowing any more about the program than just stadium looks big on TV. It's in the Phoenix area. There's a lot of high school talent in the state of Arizona, but even if you're not in Arizona, looks like a place that you'd want to go. Any shot around campus showed me a different kind of talent that I would like to be around. So I would say I always felt that way. Then you come here. This is my first time being like at an actual Arizona State game, being on campus and stuff like that for a game week, being around a lot of the coaches yesterday. I'll go back over there today. I can't help but feel that I was right, which is great because I'm wrong about a lot of things. So it's great to feel that you're right about something. Kenny Dillingham is probably as uniquely cut out for this job as anybody could have been. I almost think if you would have hired a longtime grizzled veteran, more traditional cut from the cloth coach to take over this program when they handed it to him, they would have failed because you were supposed to fail. Arizona State was a disaster like, what, 18 to 24 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the post-Herm Edwards thing, they were going to fall into the abyss for a long time, and it was almost like they handed the wheel to Kenny Dillingham and said, here, it's going to sink, but, you know, hey, at least it's valiant that you'll go down with the ship and you get to coach the program that you grew up in the shadow of and you went here. And he was almost too ignorant to know he was supposed to lose. I call that competitive ignorance, where you don't even know any better. You start winning, and everyone's shocked by it, and you look around saying, why are you acting so surprised? Isn't this what we're supposed to do? And now they're recruiting well, and they got a lot of official visitors here this weekend, and that should be the team. If you guys think about it, think about the Big 12, the way it's made up. That should be the team that dominates the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah, Millav is certainly great, and we should have known he was going to turn it around when he did this.
I got guys at my wedding.
He's just crying, shouting out his groomsmen in the back in a press conference. That job clearly means
Skeets was one of his names. I got Skeets back here, man. He was at my wedding.
That guy's a character. Look, there are good Big 12 games this week, and we're talking about one of them with BYU at Tempe. Colorado going on the road at Kansas, and look, we don't need to talk about the why. I think we all know why. The national show right now is talking about Colorado, but they're more talking about where should Deion go next year? Nothing about the game, nothing about the Buffs maybe being in a Big 12 championship in year two. They flipped a five-star quarterback. They got Julian Lewis yesterday. That was the big commit. Just what do you make of Dillingham, Deion, who I believe in preseason were voted the two worst coaches in that conference, and now here they are, may square off in the Big 12 championship. You mentioned that conference. It feels a little down to most people. Just where those two programs are at right now as they continue to ascend.
I think you could add BYU in there as well. You got three of them that were just terrible last year. I mean, terrible in terms of win and loss. And then this year, they are all three playing in games this weekend. Two of them will play against each other, and then you got Colorado and Kansas. They're playing games that will decide the fate of the Big 12 race, and that means they will decide the fate of the playoff in some ways this year. I think it means don't put too much stock in preseason rankings of coaches, because there's so much that goes into that that's beneath the hood that you could never know about, and even if you do know about it, most people don't know how to rank coaches anyway. And so then the second part is, I think it indicates how not unpredictable, although it is, but just how volatile the Big 12 is in outcome, and how Kansas could be what they were last year and then what they were at the beginning of this year. And now towards the end of this year, Kansas is playing some of the best ball in the conference. So it's really entertaining to watch. I think I will stand by the Big 12 being the most entertaining conference to watch in college football this year. Not the best, but the most entertaining. And then the follow-up to that is, all right, well, then will anyone talk about it? And what you mentioned there to start has driven me crazy. Can we please talk about the actual games? I mean, can someone have the audacity out there to just talk about Colorado being less than a field goal favorite on the road at Kansas and how they held Utah to 31 yards rushing last week? If they can do that against Kansas, it'll be really good. And they can throw the ball, and Kansas really struggles with pass D, so the matchup looks great, but ooh, still, 2.5. We'll see. Colorado, a lot of pats on the back this week. Could they fall? Could that impact the Big 12 championship race? I don't know. I mean, I've been asked 9 away from Sunday about Colorado, and it's been everything but football games. Mm. And I bristle at it, and you guys know how rarely I use that word. I bristle at it.
It's what you got to do, man. The national narrative sometimes gets a little sideways, and that's why Josh Pate's College Football Show is there every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock, live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time, live on YouTube, and you can catch the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. A bombshell, and I know you don't talk a ton of recruiting. That's a little bit more in the no off-season, off-season shows when we get closer to signing days, but the bombshell of the Bryce Underwood news yesterday, I'm curious what you think it means on either side of it. Like, he is supposed to be one of the best high school prospects we've seen. He's getting comps like Cam Newton. He has been a feather in the cap of Brian Kelly for a long time, who was having a rough year in the last couple of weeks, have not been kind to him in Baton Rouge. LSU fans seem livid. It was a reminder, I think, for Oregon now in the new Big Ten of like, oh, that's right, Michigan can still carry their weight, and maybe they're going to be just a one-year-down program and back to competing for national titles. Just what that means for each side of it and how they're reacting to it down in LSU right now.
Yeah, you're right. I don't normally talk about recruiting. I follow it, but I don't talk about it on the show a lot. But I put this on the show last night. I mean, it's a bombshell. It is as big a deal as you could see happen in recruiting. And I'm always cognizant, if I'm doing my show, of the fact that there's a huge chunk of the audience that probably doesn't follow recruiting. There's probably a lot of folks listening to this show this morning that may not know who Bryce Underwood is. You don't need to know who he is. Here's what you need to know. He is pretty universally viewed as the number one player in the country in this coming cycle. He's obviously the number one quarterback. He's like 6'5", 240, just a complete machine, and had been committed to LSU for a long time. LSU, as you may know, has struggled down the stretch on the field this year. LSU, as you may know, has had a love-hate relationship with their head coach, Brian Kelly. But to let you know how big this recruiting decommitment is, I know Louisiana people very well. Every criticism that they have thrown at Brian Kelly this year, this month, whatever, it's always been blah, 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 but we'll see how he does when Underwood gets here. Everything about LSU's struggles right now has been framed against the backdrop of when Bryce Underwood gets here, that'll really be where we start to find out what Brian Kelly's LSU is. Well, he's not coming anymore. And it's still not set in because it's so new. I don't think it's set in on those folks down there. It's at the 11th hour, too. I don't know what they're going to do about that position. I mean, I was down in that building 2 weeks ago. I met with everything from the general manager to Brian Kelly. I just randomly walked in his office, met with him. I met with everybody in the NIL structure. Everything was built around Bryce Underwood. And he's not there anymore. And he flips to Michigan, and then you turn the hourglass upside down, and then everything starts to build for Michigan around that.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy that much of your fate is tied into one player, even at that level, but that's the way it is right now.
Very quickly, we got a couple big games aside from the Big 12 contest. Indiana's going to Ohio State. This is the big prove-it game for a lot of people that question Indiana being in this conversation of the playoff and what their season has been. Ohio State lost their center on, Monday, Tuesday, tore his Achilles in a practice, unfortunately, and Ole Miss is going to Florida. And, you know, Billy Napier, rough start to the season. Everybody kind of saying, well, that's going to be an obvious opening. They've kind of settled a little bit here. Lagway comes back. He's looked all the part. They're 5-5. They're hosting Ole Miss, who we've seen play some clunky football at different times this year. Just what you make of Indiana going to Columbus and Ole Miss. We have an Ole Miss upset alert in Gainesville this weekend.
Hey, quick question. If Napier were to get fired, who was the number one candidate everyone was speculating for that job?
I don't know if this is a trick question for you to throw a name, but I remember that when we talked about this very early,
for the test.
I threw Drinkwitz out there at the beginning of the year before I saw what Missouri was.
You know who everyone else in the South threw in there? It's the head coach at Ole Miss. Who do they play again?
Lane Kiffin. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You had quotes of piss people off recently. You said he would walk to Gainesville if they offered him a job.
And you know what? I wasn't wrong. Yeah. I'm just going to stand by it. I wasn't wrong. I think that I love the way Ole Miss is playing. I'm going to say the same thing about Florida I said about Kansas. Forget about their record. Take the level the team is playing at now, in this case because Lagway's back. They are playing a top 25 caliber mm-hmm. of football right now. So that's what you should expect if you're Ole Miss. I still think Ole Miss will get the job done down there, but it should be a fight. I mean, it should be a really grinder of a game. The Indiana-Ohio State thing is just fascinating to me. I guess I'm in the minority. I am treating Indiana's season this year like I used to treat a Boise in the G5 ranks. You've got to be perfect, or I don't think you belong in the playoff, not because of anything you've done, but because your schedule has let you down. So that's not their fault, but it's not anyone else's fault either. That game just feels like it goes one of two ways. It either feels like it's 24-3 Ohio State at the half, or Indiana just wins the thing outright, which they very much could. And everyone's talking about what that would mean for Indiana, and rightfully so. Let's not forget that would be Ohio State's second loss, and what that would rain down on the head of Ryan Day going into the week of the Michigan game. So, storyline alert.
Not to mention Oregon playing potentially Indiana in the Big Ten title game, depending on how the last week of the regular season would go. Just as we all predicted at the start of the year, Josh Pate, his show is live every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time on YouTube. Catch your podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Keep an eye out for Friday Night Lines tonight. And look, the show usually drags a little bit on Thursday. You know what the boost was? A little Josh Pate in our coffee on a Friday morning. That's what you need.
I would argue that's why his Thursday show was so good, as he knew he was getting Dirt and Sprague in the morning. He got excited. He got happy.
This is valid arguments
also,
here.
Also, Josh, let's be honest. You interview a lot of these coaches when you go to these campuses. Not many coaches you get to not only wear the tight white T-shirt, but you kind of get to tower over them a little bit and feel like the superior being in some ways.
Yeah, the only disagreement I would have is I think we have established by now the plural of campus is campi.
Yeah,
campi.
Yeah,
campi. Yeah, you're right. Campi. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, enjoy the game tomorrow. Awesome that you're in Tempe. Enjoy the scenery while you're there, and we'll catch up again next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
There you go, Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football. I mean, he's not wrong. Anybody who's ever walked around that campus knows.
Millav.
That's why it's a sleeping giant. They can't.
I've heard it my entire life.
Our entire lives. Yeah. It's a sleeping giant. Dillingham's got a big one this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about the weekend in college football. Upset alerts. I'm with you on Ole Miss and Florida. Is there another one out there that we're not talking about? Big 12 title race. That's coming up next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Yeah, there's a clip that Pate tweeted out. It's pretty funny. I didn't know a lot of Kenny Dillingham's backstory. He was only here for a year. I remember him being, obviously, at Florida State. That was a debated thing when Lanning hired him as his OC. There were a lot of people that said, this guy's a negative coaching hire. He never called plays. A lot of that ended up working out great. He's doing an awesome job at ASU.
I had somebody tell me right before their season started, he's not a good play caller. He didn't call the plays at Memphis.
Was it Memphis or Florida State?
I think it was Memphis.
It was Memphis'
somebody
last stop,
He didn't call the plays. He was the OC. He didn't call plays. That he was overrated, not a good hire. And after that Georgia game, it wrote itself. I know Bo got hurt, and they stumbled against the Huskies. They lost to the Beavers, but that offense, you could not argue what that offense largely was.
Had a pretty good year, and Pate asked him, do you feel young? Because he's only, 34 years old, I think. He's the youngest FBS coach in the country. Mm. And he said, no, I don't feel young. He said, I know I'm young. I'm young at heart. But then he added that he's been coaching since he was 17 years old. Mm. And evidently, he was such a bad athlete in high school that the head coach of his high school football team was like, dude, you're not going to play, but you're a really smart football mind. Why don't you start coaching the freshman high school football team? And so he, as a junior and senior in high school, was the head coach, I believe, of his freshman high school football team. And so he's like, if somebody told you they've been coaching for 17 years, would you say they're young or inexperienced? The answer is no.
Right.
And he said, so I have all of this experience of 17 years of coaching. So he says, I know I'm young at heart, but no, I've been coaching for 17 years. Isn't that wild? He was like, I was 5'9", couldn't run, tore my ACL going into my junior year, and the coach was like, dude, you're not going to play. Well, why don't we just pivot into coaching? And he said, okay, that sounds great.
I mean, that's a really cool thing that his coach basically was honest with him about. What's wild about that story is the fact that he was allowed as a junior in high school to coach another team in his high school.
Tells you that he had to have, like, there had to have been sit-downs or watching film or diagramming plays where you're like, all right, this guy gets it. Like, you're not just going to let any run-of-the-mill kid be like, yeah, you go coach the freshman team.
When you're good, you're good. I'm a choir nerd. I got to direct my, you know.
Now, hold on a second.
I think younger kids, if they got the skill, teachers lean on.
Were you directing? You were directing choir in high school? Yeah, high school kids?
Yeah, for practices. Like, whenever
That's my guy!
Whenever our...
I find it impossible that you go to a high school and you find out that one of your peers gets to be the head coach of one of the teams and you're okay with it. I do not think that's at all what happens.
I mean, I'm not saying every single person is okay with it, but there are many times where, hey, this is a bright people doing whatever, you know, thing that they're into. And
I love it.
Let them do it.
I love it, dude. That's a great drive.
I think it kind of talks to the school he went to also. There's
South Salem?
No.
Oh, Dillingham.
Okay.
I was like, it's like, what are
you
talking about?
How dare you take a shot at South Salem Choir?
Yeah, Saxon Proud.
It's one of the most renowned choir programs in the state, bitch.
No, it's not.
Just, like, there's no world where a junior at any high school in America is allowed to coach a freshman team.
I don't know, man.
He's like 15 minutes away, so he was like, I was coaching the freshman team 15 minutes away from here.
Our freshman football coach wasn't even a teacher, so.
Like, it was just neither was ours, but he was an adult. He wasn't in high school.
This team fights!
Yeah.
Barely an adult.
That's a wild exception. He could have been really smart. He obviously is smart.
It worked out well for him.
It did. It worked out tremendously. What was their record? Did we find out what the team record was?
No, he didn't answer. He didn't ask him that.
Yeah, I bet we did.
But Pate did ask, though. He brought up a good point. He was like, usually people bemoan their limited physical abilities. Like, I couldn't do it or I was. He was like, your limited physical abilities are why you're a head coach at 34. So it ended up being a blessing for you. And Dillingham was like, no doubt about it.
Well, a lot of people wouldn't have recognized in the moment. I think that's where maturity would have taken place, right? Like, how many kids as juniors in high school would have gotten hurt and then, like, done the rehab and, like, no,
I can still do it.
I'm playing under the lights.
I can still play.
I can do this. And instead, he probably was like, damn, this guy was really honest with me, told me I suck, but I'm really smart. I'm going to lean into the coaching thing. There's not a lot of high school kids that would do that.
No, there are not.
That's the impressive part of him.
No, there were not. We didn't get to our... I do want to talk about the slate of college football games this weekend. We'll do that in the final hour. We'll get into Oregon State, Washington State, senior day for the Beavs, and just kind of what's going into that for them. Can we get an offense this week? Do they score a touchdown this week? Can the Cougs bounce back after their tough loss to New Mexico? We'll get to that in the final hour of the show. Don't forget, Spring and Line sponsors are welcome. 503.
We're locked and loaded.
864-6326. I have no clue where I'm going to go. I'm going to shoot from the hip live on the segment because I got no hope left. So we'll do that coming up at 8:30. My only chance of catching anybody is that if Swag doesn't text his picks in. That's an automatic 0-3.
I counted it last time.
I can muster a 1-2. I can catch a game on him.
You let him count last time.
Okay, new rules today. If he doesn't get his picks in by 9 a.m.
Which is 12 o'clock where he's at.
It's an hour and 1 minute from now.
Yep.
It's an auto 0-3.
It's an auto 0-3.
Auto 0-3. No late picks allowed this week because I'm pulling out all the Connor Stallions stops to make a comeback, signs. Man. I'm stealing signs, baby. Load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.